Hello and welcome to this exploring session of the Chester Mystery Cycle, and we're at play 12, the Boucher's or Butcher's play of the Temptation. Other temptations are available, and we read this play around the same time as we looked at John Bale's radical reinterpretation of the same story. That recording is also available. But it's also a two-for-one offer in Chester, with a location shift to the story of the woman taken in adultery. We know that Chester had a long and shifting life, a format change from a one-day event to presumably a more manageable three-dayer, as well as later adjustments for changing theology. So was this text originally one play, or two, or were the plays paired originally in different combinations? How were these plays staged? These are lots of questions to which we don't really know the answer, and it's not really our job to try and find them. All we're trying to do is get a first stab at getting into the text. And this was workshopped with our Beyond Shakespeare irregulars on a dull Saturday morning in September 2018. There are stumbles and errors, but that is par for the course. This is just an exploration. More fulsome audio versions of all these exploring session plays one day will be released. And as we'll be recording a proper version of this anon, please share your thoughts or suggestions about where we go from here. Submit suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse either on our Patreon page or by joining us on Twitter at Beyond Shakes. The irregulars for this recording were Liz Cole as Satan and the woman taken in adultery, Richard Fawcett as Jesus, with Mark Scanlon and Mark Holtham as various others. And I'm, as per usual, your host, Robert Crichton. And this is Play 12 of the Chester Mystery Cycle.
Satan, would you like to be Satan? You can be Satan if you like. Mm. Would you like to be Satan?
If you think
you get to say shit.
Oh, I knew you were going to find me some... Didn't I say find me some rude words to say? I don't mind.
So, this is Play 12, the Butcher's Play. Jesus is in the desert. Enter the devil.
Now, by my sovereignty, I swear, and in principality that I bear, in hell, pine while I am there. A game on, I will assay. There is a doe's beard I would dear, that walks abroad wide where. Who is his father, I wot near, thee sooth, if I should say. What master man ever be this, that now in world coming is? His mother, I wot, did never amiss, and now marvels me. His father can, I cannot he wis, for my craft and my quaint ice, it seems that heaven should all be his, so stout a sire is he. He is a man from foot to crown, and gotten without corruption, so clean of conversation, I knew of none before.
So clean of conversation, I like that. He's a, you know, he doesn't swear.
Bad a few words.
He doesn't swear, which is, it's that's nice. I'm assuming it probably means a more holy, but I think we can't avoid the modern connotation of that.
And all men of him marvel moan, for as man he goeth up and down, but as God with devotion he has been honoured your. Sith the world first began, Neus, I never knew such a man, born of a deadly like woman, and yet she is weemless.
Yes, now, Wimless, well, it's difficult because there are several different variations on that line, one of which is Wembles.
Or, probably more properly pronounced, Wembless, Wemless, Gloucester's spotless, without sin.
What was the other? Oh, Quaintis, Quaintis that we've had earlier. In different versions, it's Quaintis. Craft and cunning, basically, just so that we know what we're that earlier one. Mm. Anyway, among the sinful, please.
Among the sinful, sin doth he none, and cleaner than ever was than anyone. He seems to be of blood and bone, and wiser then than ever man was. Avarice, he no envy. In him I never could espy. He hath no gold in treasury, nay, tempted is by no sight. Pride has he none, nay, gluttony. Nay, no liking of lechery. His mouth heard I never lie, neither by day nor light. His highness I, he puts behind, for in him fault can I none find. If he be God in man's kind, my craft then fully fails. For more than man I wot he is, else somewhat he did amiss. Save he is hungry, I wess. Else I wot none him ails. And this thing dare I soothly say, if he be God, veray, hunger should grieve him in no way that were against reason. Therefore I will now assay with speeches of bread for him to betray, for he hath fasted now many a day. Therefore bread were in season.
And Satan goes to Jesus.
Thou man, abide and speak with me, God's son, if thou be. Make of these stones that thou may see bread through my blessing.
Satan, I tell thee sickly, bread man lives not only by, but through God's word verily, of his mouth coming. Therefore thou pines thee, Satanas, to supplant me of my place by meat, as sometimes Adam was, of bliss when he was brought. Deceived he was that time through thee, but now must fail thy paucity. Therefore to move that thing to me, it shall serve thee of naught. Satan, through thine enticement, hunger shall not turn mine intent, for God's will omnipotent is my meat without fail, and his word perfect sustenance to me always without distance, for thou shalt find no variance in me that shall avail.
Out? Alas, what is this? This matter fares all amiss. Hungry I see that he is, as man should kindly be, but through no craft, nay, no court ties, I may not turn his will, he wis. No need of meat, he worldly bliss, in him nothing hath he. For him may suffer all manner nigh, as man should, and stiffly, but ever he wins the victory as Godhead in him wear. Some other sleight I must espy, this dose of beer for me to destroy. For of me he hath the mastery, unhaply now here. Adam, that God himself wrought, through my deceit in Baal I bought. This, sire, I have sought, born of one woman, for no need that he himself has, of no counsel in this case, to grieve him I may have no grace, for no craft that I can. But I will seek some subtlety. Come forth, thou, Jesu, come with me to the holy city. I have an errand to say. Very God, if thou that be, thou I shall full soon see, for thou I shall ordain honour for thee, ere that thou shall wend away.
And Jesus is taken up to the edge of the temple, and then says the devil. So some kind of transition has occurred. I'm suspecting it's something to do with they changed the backdrop. They don't actually physically move. I think
that
almost,
or a hoist, yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting question. I don't know the answer.
Say thou that sits there so high, if thou be God's son, be sly, come down, and I will say I see thee do a fair mastery. Thine own angel mon keep thee, from thou hurt neither foot nor knee. Show thy power, now let's see, thou may hast honour thereby.
Satan, sickly I thee say, it is written that thou name may tempt God thy Lord by no way, what matter soever be moved.
It says descending the pinnacle.
Alas, woe is me today! Twice have I failed of my prey. Never I was rooted in such array, nay, half so foul reproved.
And Satan has another go, leading him up to the mountain top.
But yet, if thou be thy will, go us play us upon this hill. Another point I must fulfil, for aught that may befall. Look about thee now and see, of all these realms they royalty. For thou to kneel down and honour me, thou shalt be lord of all.
Go forth, Satanas, go forth, go. It is written and shall be so. God thy Lord thou shalt honour.
Go with O, I think it's so, yes. Go O.
God thy Lord thou shalt honour O, and serve him though it thee know.
Out, alas! Now is me woe, for found I never so mickle a foe. Though I do threep never so throw, I am overcome, try. Alas, my sight am now I quit. Adam, I founded with a fit, and he encumbered soon I knit, though quaintance of my craft. Now, soon out of sorrow he must be shit.
Well, it's spelt shit because it's got a rhyme with pit, but it means shut.
Now soon out of sorrow he must be shit, and I punished and help it. Knew I never of none such a wit to him as I have laughed. Alas, for shame I am shent, with hell hounds when I am hent. I must be ragged and all to rent, and driven all to dirt. Therefore is now mine intent, ere I go, to make my testament to all that in this place be lent, bequeath thee shit.
So I bequeath, yes, so you bequeath.
I bequeath thee shit.
Right, now there is an alternative ending because there are different versions, and I thought because this is
this is
significantly different, because it's obviously leading to a slightly different sequence of drama, so I thought it was fair to have a little run at this because it suggests something we don't have anymore. He's going to go to his parliament to discuss the problem.
In sorrow and woe now am I bought, and all my cunning is set at naught. Endless pain must I unsought into my reward and hire. But now I am of good intent to hold a court full of diligent, and call my servants verament shortly to appear. Them to reward with dignity all that their life have served me. In burning bliss there they shall be and sit with Lucifer.
Which suggests that we have a parliament of hell play in the sequence that doesn't survive.
Committees everywhere.
There is one, I think, in a different cycle, but there isn't one in Chester.
He has one in Milton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a convention. There's parliaments of heaven, there's parliaments of hell. There are plays that have both. But Chester doesn't anymore. So it suggests that is from a version that is incomplete. So, and that would be quite an interesting play to have, but sadly we don't have it.
This is really lively.
I think it's one
really upset.
The reason why we used this version for our passion was because it was the best. Right, we then move into what's essentially the second play done by the same company, The Woman Taken in Adultery. So, we've got Jesus, can we have a first Pharisee, a second Pharisee, and you can be the woman, and I will be the expositor / doctor, depending on which script. So, and it's an interesting question, the function of these storyteller / explaining the theology elements. Anyway. Lo, lordings, God's righteousness, as Saint Gregory makes mind express, since our forefather overcomen was by three things to do evil. Gluttony, vainglory, there be two, covetousness of highness also. By these three things, without mo, Christ hath overcome the devil. That Adam was tempted in gluttony, I may well prove apertly, when of the fruit falsely the devil made him to eat. And tempted he was in vain glory, when he hight him great majesty, to have Godhead unworthily through eating of that meat. Also he was tempted in avarice, when he het him to be wise, no good and evil at his devise, more than he was worthy. For covetousness, Gregory saith express, sins not only in riches, but in willing of highness and state unskilfully. Also Christ in these sins three was tempted, as ye might well see, for in gluttony, leave you me, he moved him, you saw here, when he enticed him through his red to turn the stones into bread, and so to move his Godhead, which he was in aweer. In vain glory he tempted also, when he excited him down to go the pinnacle of the temple fro. When he excited him down to go the pinnacle of the temple fro, an unskilful gate. Mm. And in covetousness he tempted was, when he shewed him such riches, and het him lands both more and less, and therethrough great estate. Thus overcome Christ in this case, the devil, as played was in this place, with those three sins that Adam was, of wail into woe waved. But Adam fell through his trespass, and Jesu withstood him through his grace, for of his Godhead Satanas, that time was clean deceived. So, then come in two Pharisees, with them the adulterous woman, saying,
Master, I read us by God Almighty that we lead this wretched wight that was taken thus tonight in foul advertry before Jesus in his sight. For to tempt him I have tight, to wit whether he will deem the right, or else unlawfully.
It is good read, by my fay, so we may catch him by some way. For if he do her grace today, he doth against the law. And if he bid punish her sore, he doth against his own law, that he has preached here before, to mercy a man should draw.
And they Jesus enters, basically.
Master, this woman that is here is a wedded wife without weir. But with another man than her fear, we found here do amiss. And Moses' law bids us stone all such women as be unclean. Therefore to thee we can us mean to give a doom of this.
And Jesus writes in the dirt, saying at the same time, probably directly to the audience,
Now which of you, every one, is without sin? Busk him anon, and cast at her the first stone, be live, ere that you blind.
Speak on, Master, somewhat to say, shall she be stoned or else nay, or do her mercy here today to forgive her this sin?
Master, why art thou so still? What writest thou? If it be thy will, whether shall we spare or spill this woman found in blame? What writest thou, Master? Now let's see.
And he reads the text written in the dirt.
Out, alas, that woe is me. Here no longer dare I be, for dread of world's shame.
And so he is so terrified by what is written in the dirt, he flees, and the first Pharisee sees his retreating back.
Why fleest thou, fellow, by my fay? I will see soon and assay.
And he too reads the dirt.
Alas that I were away, far beyond France. Stand thou, Sibel, him beside. No longer here I dare abide, against thee now for to chide, as I have good chance.
And so he flees as well, and Jesus says to the woman,
Woman, where be those men, each on, that put this guilt thee upon? To damn thee now there is none of those that were before.
Lord, to damn me there is none, for they all away gone.
Neither do I damn thee, thou woman. Go forth and sin no more.
My Lord, blessed thou must be, that of mischief doth help in me. From henceforth sin I will flee, and serve thee in good fay. For Godhead full in thee I see, that knoweth all works that done be. I honour thee, kneeling on my knee, and so I will do I.
Now, lordings, I pray you take heed of the great goodness of God's deed. I will declare, as it is need, this thing that played was. As Augustine speaketh expressly of it in his homily upon St. John's Evangeli, this he says in that case. Two ways they cast on him to annoy, sith he had preached much of mercy, and the law commanded expressly such women for to stone, that trespassed in adultery. Therefore they hoped wittily variance in him to espy, or blemish the law clean. Then wist Jesu well their thought, and all their wit set at naught, but bade which no sin had wrought cast first at her a stone. And wrote in clay, leave you me, their own sins that they might see, that each one fain was to flee, and so left her alone. For each one of them had grace to see their sins in that place, yet none of them wiser was, but his own each man knew. And fain they were to take their way, lest they had damned been that day. Thus help the woman in good fay, our sweet Lord Jesu.
I thought that was quite funny, actually.
It is. It's that the extreme reaction of the Pharisees to reading a bit of writing on the ground.
Oops.
Of, you know, it's, you know, ah, oh no, suddenly I've got to go to France, which seems like a cruel punishment to me. And your name's Sibyl. The woman in Evangeli is given, I don't know if biblically she has a name. I think she's just assumed to be a woman. Well, and all confused with Mary Magdalene.
Well, actually, I mean, I think that's part of the point of the... No, it's not a parable, is it? It's an event in the life.
Mm.
It's, there's no one's identified. There's no witnesses.
No.
There's no husband, even.
No.
It's just a couple of Sanhedrin thugs who say she's been having it off with another man.
Yeah.
Yes, you would probably expect the husband to have some opinion on that.
Yes,
be there, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's got through. I mean, it's that bit that Jesus says, you know, as he's writing the ground, and presumably that has to be to the audience because the Pharisees don't hear it. because you explain what you're writing as you're writing it, but they have to read it. So that obviously isn't dialogue to them. That's obviously to the audience. But it's just that thing, the extreme reaction. What are you writing now? Let's see. Out, alas, woe is me. It's such an extreme reaction. I left a vouchery because I quite like it as a word, though actually I think in this version it actually was adultery. You're talking about being overcome thry, but it must rhyme with noi, presumably, from Jesus' previous line. Throy. Overcome thry, as in thrice, but it must rhyme with and serve him, Jesus' last line, and serve him though it the noi, as in annoy. So that must be throy. Any other thoughts about those particular plays?
But they certainly are. These pages we just read are extremely lively. And, I mean, presumably it's consciousness of the fact that on the one hand the audience is going to know the story.
Yeah.
And actually is expected to believe it implicitly. Mm. But at the same time, it needs to be entertained.
Yes. Yes, I mean, and it's also the fact that we've got different plays happening in sequence across a day, and maybe there's a deliberate attempt to go from a less lively play to a more lively play and to vary the tone.
Yeah.
You know. Children, you get bored if you're standing there and there's a lot of talk going on.
Yeah, because the...
Yeah. A bit of slapstick.
You know, the play 11 is quite sombre, it's quite slow, it's quite sweet. I think the Simon Danding the baby is quite a sweet little bit. There's a bit of comedy in there, but you know, it gets quite serious. It's, you know, the doctor's sort of talking a bit of theology. Whereas this, it's all Satan, and it's not physically very dynamic. But then they don't really physically have very much room to manoeuvre.
No.
The most dynamic thing is really the entrances and exits. I suspect.
So you know that they're not going to stone us.
Yeah. You never know with an audience.
Two locks and a bunch of gravel, please.
You never know where these things might end up.